in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, it talks about Jesus, his 70 other disciples. And it says that when they come back from doing what the Lord would have them to do, they return with joy. You know, when you do what God would have you to do, there's great joy. Yeah. Amen? But I want you to notice something. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, this is before Jesus went to the cross. But he imparted unto them the use of his name. Now, you and I were on this side of the cross. We're in the fullness of the new covenant. So how much more can you use the name of Jesus? So if the devil's been bugging you or been bothering your household or coming against you, just hold that name of Jesus above the devil. Tell him to be quiet. Amen. And tell him to flee, to leave you. You don't have to entertain him. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. All right. Turn to Acts 27. Acts 27. And how many knows when all through the Word of God, especially in the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of Paul, when the devil come against what they were, what the Lord was wanting to do in that season, did they back up or did they double down? Amen. All right, so what's happening right now? We've got a strong push against the prophetic. And so, I don't know how this is going to go. I've got one verse. And we're going to start with this verse and see where the Spirit of God leads us. But I want you to hear what has happened in history in the ministry of Paul's life. And I want you to see it as a prophetic picture that God is wanting to give us a change of direction in this nation, a change of direction first in our own life, and then we affect this whole nation, because you've got power. You've got power. God's gave you power and authority, and he's gave you influence. And so I want you to see that that though things look dark and they look difficult, that there's going to come a great power of separation, and God's going to do a mighty work. I believe that, don't you? All right, let's read Acts 27, verse 41, just for a text, and then we'll see how this works out. Acts chapter 27, verse 41, if you're there, say amen. And falling into a place, this is Paul, he's fixing to be involved in a shipwreck. And falling into a place where two seas met. Think about that spiritually. Two different flows of water, two different flows of spirit, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with violence of the waves. But the hinder part, that was in the back, was broken with the violence of the waves. Sister Victoria, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Sister Victoria. Thank you for honoring the word. Once again, thank you for Brother David and Sister Debbie. Thank y'all for being here tonight. Hallelujah. It's a privilege when we come together. Now, I know that if you're not hadn't read this lately, it may not be familiar with you. But here is a story in Acts 27 and 28 about the Apostle Paul. He is being taken somewhere where he doesn't want to go. And right now in the United States of America, you're being taken somewhere where you don't want to go. It's not of your own doing. Come on now. The 80 million people stood up and said what they wanted, and we've got something different. Because of what's working in the very darkness of the plan of the enemy. But I want you to see some things prophetically here. What is going to happen? Because our God, He loves you. Our God loves His church, and I know that His church is all around the world, but I understand that in America, that you and I, we have the influence, we have the finances, we have the opportunity to fund the gospel all around the world. And so, God, now when I say this, somebody's not going to like it, but it's the truth. God needs us. God needs us, and He wants to use us. Amen. But He wants to use His whole church, but His whole church is going to come together. You and I, America is not going to fall because we've got people all around the world that are now praying back for us. Come on, we do. We do. And I'm telling you, I believe that we're going to see some amazing things happen because what the devil has done now, I think we're going to see China breached. I think that the underground church in China is going to come forward because there's some things going to happen. But we'll get into that later on. Now, I want us to see some things here. Now, notice here in verse 41, it said, "And falling into a place where two seas met." Right now, where you and I are at in this very tug of war between light and dark, between good and evil, we're at the place where you and I are being fed from the throne of God. The river is flowing out of the throne of God. Amen. It's flowing into the blood-bought, blood-washed church of the Almighty God, but at the same time, the devil is increasing his flow, and he's bringing an anointing of to try to discourage and try to hinder and bring delusion. But in this place where two seas met, you and I are in a perfect opportunity to see some things of the past be broke off our life. We're going to do some things differently. We're going to do some things under a new anointing, under a new revelation, under a new will and plan of God. Because notice what it says there. It said, "They ran the ship aground, and the forepart was struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves." Now, this word for ship here in this verse, it's not the normal Greek word. It's another word that means a complete disaster. It's a hulk. It's a mess because everything's coming apart. But the everything that was in the front, it stood fast. So everything in the back that is there to hinder us and to hurt us of our former life, it's going to go away. But everything that you and I are looking forward to in Jesus Christ, prophetically, it's going to hold strong. Amen. It's going to be your guiding force. It's going to be my guiding force. Now, when they come into this place where two seas met and they fell into it, this is an interesting word. This Greek word is parapipto, and it means to be surrounded. And right now, it looks like the people of God are surrounded. Come on. We've got all of these wild ideals where he is wanting to sign all of these executive orders to break the United States of America. You cannot do financially what he's doing. You can't take away the jobs. You can't give away all this money and give this citizenship away just like it was candy for votes. And because you and I, we got to pay for it. All right, so we're in a place, we're in a situation where it looks like we're surrounded, it's not normal. It's demonic, amen? And so you and I, we're in this situation where we've got to see that, yes, we're in a place where there is a battle going on, but we're going to let go all of the former, and we're going to step into the newness of life, amen? All right, let's see some things. Now, there's... a couple places where this word is used. I want us to go to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 30. You can see where where they fell into this place where two seas met. You can see it in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And I think it's a prophetic vision of hope for you and I. And Luke chapter 10, verse number 30, look what it says. "And Jesus answering and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." You know this story very well. But what I want you to see, he fell among thieves. Now, we know the devil is the original thief, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus gave us this story because the highlight of this story is that Jesus come in a form that wasn't recognizable. He didn't come in the priest. Come on. He didn't come as the priest. The priest walked on by. Right? Come on, you know the story. That the certain priest saw him, went across the other side. The Levite done the same thing. But all of a sudden, a Samaritan, a sinner, saw that there was a need there. And what did he do? He moved and he met on that need. So what's going to happen is God is going to raise up some things to bring a separation and to cause the thief to be revealed and cause Jesus to be exalted in our nation, amen, caused the need to be met. Because Jesus said, I'm going to, as the form of the Good Samaritan here, he said, he told the innkeeper, he said, you pour oil and wine into him. You doctor him, you take care of him, and here's money for 2 days. And if that's not enough money, when I come back, I'll give you more. Okay? 2 days, that's 2 days' salary. That, what is a day to the Lord? 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. 2 days, Jesus has been crucified. 2,000 years, he's getting ready to come back. And so we see that we, right now, as we look like that we're falling in among thieves, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer. He has what you need. He has what I need. Amen. He's going to take care of us. And so this is a temptation. James 1 and 2 says, my brethren, don't you be in turmoil because you're falling into motley or divers temptations. He said, don't let that affect you because you're a person of faith. Amen. There are going to be temptations. There are going to be trying of your faith. But because Jesus has done, paid everything that needed to be paid, when you and I are in these situations, we have the assurance he's going to take care of us. All right. So let's go back to Acts and let's see some things. Now notice what it says. Let's back up here just a little bit so we can get a full understanding of what's happening. In verse number 9, Acts 27:9, it says, now when much time was spent and when Salem was now dangerous because the fast, you know, the Day of Atonement was already passed, Paul admonished them. And he said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading in the ship, but also of our lives. So Paul, he's trying to warn them here. He's trying to give them instruction. And you and I today, we have been standing for Jesus, and we've been warning the world, we've been warning specifically America, what will happen if you push Jesus out. But you and I were in a place where seemingly we're in the minority, and so the world, but specifically we're talking about tonight about our nation, has chose unwisely. And so as they chose unwisely here with Paul's life, he had to go in the flow that they went. Well, tonight, because there's been some thievery, some trickery, some things happen, you and I right now seemingly we're having to go in a way that we don't like. Amen? But you've got to have confidence that even if the devil looks like he's winning, he's done lost. And even if the devil is working some things of trickery and very subtle, you and I have the confidence that we talked about this morning that no matter what it looks like, our God will work it for your, for my, for the church's good. Amen? So let's see how this works out. Now notice verse number 11. Nevertheless, the centurion, he believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. We've been warning people. Come on, as a church of the living God, we've been standing up and saying, if you kick God out, this is going to happen. If you turn your back on God, you can expect the devil to move in. Because anywhere where Jesus isn't in an abundance, guess what? The devil is going to show up. And we know that we're in the last church age. We're in the church age of the Laodiceans. And in that church age, Jesus is outside the door. Remember? Revelation 3:20, and he's knocking, trying to get into his own church. And so what's going to happen? You and I, the real church, the true church that is listening and hearing his voice, we're going to let him into everything of our lives. The old is going to be passed away, like that part of the ship that Paul was talking about. But the front part, the new things in Christ, is going to stand stronger and stronger and stronger. And we're going to reach a group of people. Would you like to reach somebody that you never thought you'd even see? It's coming. It's coming. God's going to give us an audience with people that we would never have dreamed of. Because I want you to see the prophetic profile here in these verses of Scripture. Stay with me now, and we'll let the Word of God bring it to us. Now, notice this. It says in verse 13, Acts 27:13, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they have obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." Now, this is important, and you'll never understand it. I'll never understand it unless we dig just a little bit deeper. So you bear with me, but we've got to plow just a little bit deeper, okay? What does Crete mean? Crete means carnal. It means fleshly. So, in other words, here this ship, they're walking and they're going by the flesh. Now, the devil loves it when you and I get out of the spirit and get into the flesh and start walking this way. And guess what? He'll pat us on the back. He'll make everything work good. He'll make everything feel right because he wants to give you and I enough rope to hang ourselves. Yeah. So here they are. They're on the ship. Everything's looking like, I didn't need to listen to that man of God. I listened to the owner of the ship. I listened to the master. Well, see, there's a master of this world, a little g, the devil, the little g, the little god of this world, and he's going to be destroyed. But your God, my God, he's going to stand strong, and every word he's ever said is going to come to pass. Amen? So they should have listened to the church. They didn't do it. All right. Verse 14. "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called a Euroclydon." This is a typhoon. This wind is a wind that comes out of the north, northeast. Who's the king of the north? The devil. So here he's had him going along. Everything looks fine and dandy. And then all of a sudden he springs on these 276 people a wind that they can't take care of. Now you and I, we're not going to be moved because we're on the rock. But there's a group of people that you and I are going to have to go in this storm with to be able to reach them and to pull them out. Come on, I'm going through. Say, I'm going through. Come on, you're not going down. You're going to go through. You're going to go through for the glory of God. And it's going to be powerful. It's going to be amazing. And it's going to reach a group of people that otherwise would be lost. Verse 15. "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." There's going to come a time when this storm that's coming, I'm not talking about a physical storm. I'm talking about a spiritual storm. I'm talking about the wind of deception. And you can see the prelude to it right now. You can see people just looking and listening to lies, and their eyes just gloss over. And if you told them the truth, they couldn't hear it. They don't understand the truth. And so it's just driving them, and it's getting them further away from God's protection and God's plan and getting them to the place where the devil is going to try to destroy them. But you and I, being a type of Paul, being a type of the church, we've got to stand strong and say, I'm going to be in the storm. It's going to be around me, but it's not going to stop what God's going to do in me and through me. Amen? It can't stop the mighty moving force of the church of the living God. All right. Notice what it says. It says in verse 17, "And when they had taken up, they used helps and undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, the strake sail, and so they were driven." Verse 18, "And we being exceedingly tossed by a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship." Now see, they wanted to get to where they were going because they wanted to sell their wares. But all of a sudden, when it's down to your life and money, what's the most important? See, all of these things that's happening, it's going to cause people to make a choice. It's going to show them what's really, truly important. See, the devil thinks he's going to kill them all. We got a God who's a God of a salvation. We've got a God who can reach down in the midst of the storm and he can use the lies and the deception of the devil to cause people to come out of darkness, to come out of lies and come into truth, because you and I are willing to make a stand. We're willing to be a Paul in the midst of the struggle. Amen? Now notice what happens. It says, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. In other words, Paul, he's part of the prisoners that's on this ship. And so Paul is saying that all of a sudden, those that they considered to be prisoners, they started using. See, they're going to start using the church to cast out some things that they thought was so important. But when it come down to life and death, when it come out to heaven or hell, eternity, they're going to use you to cast some things out, to show what's really and truly important. Now, come on, I know this is deep. I know it's, but you got to get the spiritual picture of this, because God's going to give you an anointing to be able to be used in situations in people's lives where they are would go down unless you were there. If Paul wasn't there, the other 275 people would have perished. Only because God loved Paul and he gave Paul every person that was with him. Come on, you and I, we've got to see that we can make a difference in people's lives. All right. Verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars appeared in many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Some people, they've got to get to the very last straw. They've got to get to the bottom before they'll turn to Jesus. But when they get to the bottom, we've got to tell the Lord, I'll be there. It's not pretty at the bottom. But if we'll be there, come on, they'll come up out of the bottom and they'll come up on top. All right. Drop down to verse 21. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship, only the ship. Come on, you and I, we've got something to tell people. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome. He said, you're going to have tribulation. We're going to overcome everything, every obstacle, everything the devil throws, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Why should we have good cheer? Verse 23. He said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought forth before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So what you and I have got to do, we've got to say, Lord, I see that there's people all around me that's in danger of falling into judgment. There's people all around me that's in danger to being caught into this wind of deception, this wind of hurt of the enemy. And so, Lord, you've placed me in this moment of time for a reason, for a destiny. So, in the name of Jesus, you show me who you have placed in the ship with me. Show me who you're wanting to use me to shore up and to make sure that they don't go down in this storm. Amen? We've got to have an expectancy, a confidence that God is going to use every situation of the devil and he's going to turn it to good. Amen? Now notice, he said, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, now this is important, verse 26, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. So, all of this thing, here the devil is, he's trying to kill Paul because he doesn't want Paul to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of God was, Paul, you're going to write my epistles. Paul, you're going to go and you're going to stand before Caesar and you're going to witness to the whole Roman Empire of who I am. Now see, God said it, and so it had to come to pass. And so the devil was going to do anything and everything he could to keep Paul from fulfilling his ministry. The devil's going to do everything he can to try to keep you and I from fulfilling our ministry. But if God has told us something, it's going to happen. We're going to do it, amen? And so we've got to believe God. We've got to believe God that greater is He that is in you and I than he that is in this world. We've got to hold on to that. We've got to see that it doesn't matter what it looks like in America right now. God has a plan. And you and I are a part of His plan. We're not a part of the devil's. And we're going to let God do what He can only do in us and through us. Amen? Now notice this. Once again, verse 26. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Now, I want you to know that in the trials and tribulations of your life, in my life, as the devil means all of these things for harm, all of a sudden, in the midst of that sea, in the midst of that struggle, you're going to find yourself on solid, dry land. And when you find yourself there, you're going to find yourself in a place, a land of opportunity. You're going to find you in a place that God said, this wasn't what I had for you, but because you were willing to go in the storm with those who would otherwise die, He said, I'm going to give you something greater than you've ever imagined. Say, praise God for these 276. How wonderful that is. But the reality of what Paul wanted was what God had spoke to him that we have to pull in between what we just read. He was wanting to give Paul an island. Thank God for 276 people, but let's don't limit our vision on our neighbor. Let's don't limit our vision on the person that we work with next. Let's don't look at that and say, oh, thank God for that. No, let's look and see that God wants us to be used to save the whole island, everything around us, amen? We've got to see that God is always thinking in the big. He's God Almighty. Not God tiny. He has big visions. So tonight, I believe if you'll hear by the Spirit of God, He's going to bring a revelation in your life of your island, of what God has for you where you're at. And it's going to touch and minister to people's lives. And not only is it going to affect your area and my area, it's going to be a part of helping us turn as a nation. We got to come back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Come on, we've got to apply it. We've got to what? We've got to humble ourselves. Our confidence is not in that flag. Thank God for the flag. Don't get me wrong. But our confidence is in the God that inspired a group of people to leave and to form a place where there would be freedom to worship. Amen? All right. Now, all of these things happen. You read this in your and it's all prophetic. Everything happened in a certain time period, in certain days. But I want you to see, for sake of time, drop down to verse 30. They're wishing for the day because this storm is so bad. But in verse 30 it says, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, and when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color or in pretense, we would say in today's vernacular, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. We've got to tell people, yes, this ship is the former, it's falling to pieces. But what God's building in the front, it's going to hold together till you get to dry land. It's going to hold together. It's going to get you where you need to go. Amen? And so, what is this really a type of? See, Noah, in Genesis chapter 6, he built an ark to the saving of his family that was perfect in their generations. And everyone else perished. Okay, that's a type when Jesus says, for as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. Because your ark tonight, my ark tonight, is Jesus Christ. And so this is what this is a prophetic type of. We've got to stay in. Now, there's great persecution coming. We have not experienced it. We have not even understood it. What Christians around the world have went through, what we saw under President Obama when he done nothing, when they cut Christians' heads off with swords overseas, and we as a nation did nothing, that's coming back to us. Because we had an obligation, we had a responsibility, and we had a wicked leader who would do nothing. The book of Revelations, there are going to be unknown numbers that are going to be crying unto God under the altar, Lord, when are you coming? Their heads were cut off because they stood for Jesus. Nobody likes to hear that, but it's going to happen. But you and I, we've got to be in the ark, and we've got to be in our place to be able to bring people into this ark, because in the ark is a place of protection, and we want to be in the timing of the Lord. We don't want to miss His best. Amen? Okay. Now, verse 33. And when the day was coming, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting and have taken nothing. The number 14 in Bible numerics means deliverance and salvation. So they had been 14 days of getting the flesh out of the way, and now Paul is fixing to break bread for them. What do we do when we break bread? We're taking communion, right? We're honoring the Lord. We're partaking of His body. We're partaking of His blood. Come on now. Now notice what happens. Verse 34. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, and for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. You say, well, Greg, that's not literal. I think it's literal. Yes, he means they're not going to be hurt or damaged, but I think this is a supernatural thing, because you and I, we lose hundreds of hair a day, but not one hair. He could have used any kind of vernacular he wanted to, but he used this terminology. Amen? Now think about it. This is his promise. He said, you're going to be fine. Come on, we're going to be fine, and we're going to bring people into the place of protection. Now notice what happens. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread. Come on, this is the type of the body of Jesus. And he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he broken it, he began to eat. Now what happened? Then they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And there were in all the ship 276 people partook of communion. And they were saved. Now, as great as that is, that's not Paul's mission. Now, tonight, the Holy Ghost is wanting to broaden your and my understanding of what our mission is. We get so caught up in our little circle of people that we pray for, our little circle that we witness to, and all of those things. But God's wanting us to know that even in the storm, He's going to take care of that in the circle, and He wants us to go and to take the whole island. But when you go into the devil's territory, you're going to meet him head on. Amen? Now, we could look at this more, but we don't have time. So go to chapter 28. Chapter 28, verse number 1. So they all make it safely to the island. And it says in verse number 1, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. So they come out of this shipwreck, and they come to this island that's called Melita. Melita means honey. There's honey in the rock. Amen? There's to be sweetness here. But guess what? There's not sweetness there because the devil's there. So God wants to take what is meant to be, what is not, and call those things that be not as though they were and make it happen. Amen? And so here, God brings Paul into this place for this destiny, for this purpose. Verse number 2. And the barbarous people, and that's a rough word. It just simply means they weren't Greek. They were non-Greek. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and they received us every one. Now think about that. What would you do if 276 people come and knocked on your door? I might hide under the bed. 276 people, and they received them every one. Now think about it. This group of people, they saw God's glory on these 276 souls. They saw that they had been delivered from the deep. They saw that they just partake of communion. This is a type of salvation. They saw them, and they saw that there was something different about them. Amen? And so, thank God for Paul being in his place to touch these 276 where they could be a part of Paul in the fullness of his ministry of taking the whole island. Amen. See, I need you, you need me. We work together, and the glory that God's placed in your life, the glory God's placed in my life, all of that brings Him glory. It lights the world, and it causes people to see the truth that God loves them. Are y'all with me? All right, because I'm flying by the seat of my pants. Verse number 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, and he laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. So now, I want you to see, it's cold, wet, it's damp and all of these things. But Paul goes and he gathers these sticks and he places them on the fire. Now, that's a type and a shadow of you and I going out and bringing people to the fire of the Holy Ghost. And when you bring people to the presence of Jesus through the fire of the Holy Spirit, the devil is going to show up. Because before you got saved, before I got saved, the devil was working in our life. And when somebody tried to warm us around the fire of Jesus, the devil comes out. And he's going to bite you, he's going to bite me, but he cannot stop what God's called you to do. Amen? He cannot kill the vision. He cannot kill the plan, because you are serving a God that is alive forevermore. He's done died, and death couldn't hold him. Amen? All right, now notice what happens. And there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Verse number 4. And when the barbarians saw this venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." Because, now understand, they just live in the natural. They live by what they've seen, because they have not been born again. They don't have any spiritual understanding or ability whatsoever. So you and I, we thought a lot of things before we got saved. I was the most superstitious person in the world. You know, that's bondage, and that's an awful place to be. And I rejoice every day. I thank God, because some of the things I used to have to do because of superstition. So here they are. They're in a superstition state right now, but they're fixing to be delivered. All right. Verse number 5. And he, Paul, he shook off the beast into the fire, and he felt no harm. You and I, we've got to be in the place that we don't try to take care of the attack of the devil on our own. We don't try to work it out on the outside, but we... See, the devil wants to do things in your life and my life to pull us away from the fire of God. But what we do is we just get closer to the fire of God. And we put the devil in the fire of the Lord. And guess what? He can't stand the heat. See, you and I, the believer, the one that has been blood washed, we can get in the fire and we get more and more pure. The devil, because he is evil and full of evil, the fire of the Lord, it messes up his candy store. Amen? All right. Verse number 6. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly or unawares. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and they said that he was a god. Because they haven't met Jesus. Just, they don't understand. They don't know. But I want you to know that you represent the Lord God Almighty. And you've got to see who you are and see what you can do. And now I understand why we read those verses of Scripture in the first part of Luke. You've got to take authority. I've got to take authority over the devil. Amen? Because in the name of Jesus, we have all authority. And everyone is looking. But so I want you to see here, how do I build this? How do I apply this to where I'm at right now? Well, right now tonight in America, you and I, we're in a situation where we have got, and this is not about politics, but we've got the White House, we've got the Senate, and we've got the Congress that is controlled by somebody who does not want God. And they're trying to push God out. And so we're in this kind of storm, and we're going in this certain direction. But you and I, we don't let that affect us. We don't let that cause us to turn bitter. Rather, we allow the Spirit of God to make us, empower us, better said, to love like never before. So what we want to do is, and like I shared with you this morning, the Holy Spirit dealt with me about the reality that instead of complaining about things, instead of murmuring about things, I need to pray about them. And so we need to take these leaders right now that are in key strategic places that are making decisions for the devil. And instead of being aggravated at them, we need to lay them on the altar of the Lord. And we need to say, Lord, if you could reach me when I was in my deepest sin, you can reach them where they're at. And then we bind the spirit of deception off of them. And we ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come upon them. And let their eyes come to the truth. Amen. God can do it. He can do it. But he can't do nothing unless the church prays. Why are we at where we're at? Maybe we haven't prayed about certain things as we should. We just thought, well, it'll take care of itself. Certain things I didn't pray about because I heard a prophetic word and I just stood on that word that it was going to come to pass. But God wants you and I to put legs on everything that we hear. Because he wants you to be a part of his plan. He wants me to be a part of his plan. So tonight, even though the storm and the winds of change that we don't like and we don't understand are blowing, I want you to stand up strong and say, Lord, I recognize that everyone around me, I'm going to be a type of Paul. I'm going to be a type of your church that is active. And I'm not going to let them go down. Come on. I'm going to be in the midst with them. I'm going to, in other words, when they come to me and there's a problem, there's a struggle, I'm going to say, God will help you. Amen. We're going to be in it with them. But we're going to recognize and realize that this is just going to be a seed that's going to reach something greater. Now, what have we been talking about for the last couple of years? We've been talking about that there's going to come a great awakening, the third awakening to America. There's going to come a revival, and we're going to see a harvest come forth before the coming of the Lord. Yes. We believe that, right? Every one of us, we believe that. And so this right here, what the devil is doing is just going to give God an opportunity to use his church like never before to bring that harvest in. I've got to believe that you and I, we may be on that island of Melita. We may be in that place where we're cold and dead. Paul was miserable. Come on, he hadn't ate for 14 days, and then he takes communion, and then he gets thrown right into almost freezing water, and they have to fight their way all the way to this island. But God's with him all the way. You're going to have to fight some things. And it's going to be uncomfortable to the flesh. But I promise you, you're going to make it to where God wants you to be. You're going to accomplish the perfect will of God. Why? Because you're a hungry group of people. You trust in Jesus. Amen. And so when you get to where you're supposed to be, where that honey is at, and the enemy comes against you, you're going to cast the enemy off in the fire of the Holy Ghost. And it's going to cause... Thank you, Lord. Okay. It's going to cause the one who needs to be changed forever. Look, drop down to verse number 8. And it came to pass that the father of Publius, Publius means popular, that he lay sick of a fever, and he had a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Verse number 9. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and they were healed. You can't lose. So think about the opportunity. Paul got introduced to the head of the island. So that's a type to help us to see and understand that the whole island come to salvation. So let's broaden our vision. And let's say, okay, I understand we're going through some things, but it's not just about us. It's about what God's going to do in us and through us. It's about God showing up and showing out and showing the devil who is on the throne. Amen? But Paul had to do the work. You're going to have to do the work, but your work is going to be a great reward. Amen? Hallelujah? Hallelujah. Look at what happened then. Verse number 10 in closing. Who also honored us. All of those people who got touched by the Lord. Who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as was necessary. The very thing that I shared this with you. The very thing that I need in my life the most is the hardest for me to give. But when we give that the hardest to give, it's what that person needs. Then what you really need, what I really need, it comes back to us. Amen? So everything that Paul needed to go forth and go all the way to Caesar, they provided it because they had met the Jesus that was the greatest giver of all. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. Lord, I ask you in the name of our Lord and our Savior that you would help us to expand our vision. Help us to see the parallel of what has happened in church history through the Apostle Paul and how it applies to us right now. Help us to get a vision of being able to save those around us because we yield to you. We trust you and how in turn, that it will take the whole island. It'll take the whole country. And when we have need, because of those that we have ministered to, that need will be met to be able to go to our destiny. Lord, we asked you for it. We asked you for this truth, this understanding. Let it resonate in our heart. Let us see that fire and see the ability to shake off everything of the enemy. Let it be real and genuine to us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you come and make yourself an altar or make yourself an altar at your chair, wherever you feel comfortable, and just spend some time with the Lord and let Him drop this in your spirit because He's wanting to get us ready. He's wanting to encourage us and get us in the place where we don't flip-flop, that we don't back up. There's so many prophets now, they're backing up and they're apologizing and saying, I missed God. Well, you and I, we're not perfect and they're not perfect. But just because things don't work out in the timing and in the way that we thought they would, we can never apologize for the Word of God. God will never lie to you. He will never shortchange you. Amen? And so you hold on to that word. That's a work of the enemy to try to steal, kill, and destroy God's best out of our life.